afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Everybody's on.
Yes. Me, Gerald. Let me get Keisha.
We're grabbing Keisha. All right. Come on in. Grab that seat.
Good.
How's everything going overall?
Good, good. Before we get going, how's your dad doing?
He's improving. His balance is still off a little bit. He's not back at work yet, but his attitude is great, and you know, he's coming along.
Right.
So we'll know something more definitive in the next few weeks after his therapist. I think his therapist ends in the next few weeks, so we'll know something a little bit more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But thanks for asking.
Did you see any part of the eclipse?
Did what?
Did you see any part of the eclipse?
Oh, of course.
How was it on your skin?
It was not bad. We're in Indiana, so the moon looked like it had a little hat on top. From your point of view, you probably looked like it was a little bit of a saucer, right? You saw the – probably had most of the eclipse except for the bottom was kind of bright.
We actually saw total.
We had a total.
Oh, you were in total?
Yeah, we were total.
Oh, you lucky dogs.
Yeah. You guys get it in 2024.
Oh, okay.
Save us a seat.
I will.
All right, we're coming. Don't act like you don't know us.
Right.
I'm going to tell everybody we're your cousins.
Come on up.
All right.
Were there a lot of people? Was it very crowded?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't as crazy as they made it seem like it was going to be, but there were a lot of out-of-town visitors from all over the world here. And
the hotels were sold out. All the hotels were sold out,
too.
Oh, that's good, though. That's great for business.
It was great business. Yeah. We need to have another one next year.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, seriously. Just a little shot in the arm, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so how is Supernova, and what can I teach you today?
All right, we got some things to teach you, but we wanted to update you on a client that was worth, what, $50, $60 million that had, like, 1.5 with us. And we talked about how he was a liability, didn't listen to us, didn't value our advice or really take us seriously. And we found out that he came here because he likes us and he played basketball with me. So he left. We gave him an out, told him, you know, if you can consolidate with us, if not, we're fine with you to consolidate with somebody else. We just want you to be with whoever you trust, you know, whoever, you know. So he left and sent us a letter that was a lie. And I kind of left it alone. And one time I was going to respond to it, but we just didn't. So he's gone.
Good.
And that was that was the largest account we've ever sent away, I think.
Yeah.
That was the lottery winner, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, no, that was a good decision. Very good. I hope that feels liberating.
Yeah.
It really does.
Because now we don't have to burn time. Keisha doesn't have to track him down. So that gives her more time to do other things. Yep. So here we are. Now we're working on still fine tuning things, And Chantel is, you know, we were looking at, I'm going to let Chantel take over in a minute, but we were looking at the differences between ambassadors and advocates and clients and customers, et cetera. So we're trying to fine-tune that. And we also going to need some other ideas about how do we formulate the day. We're down. We're focusing down to what, 165 or?
Our ideal number.
Yeah. Our ideal number is going to be about 165 clients.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a matter of making sure that we schedule our days right. The events, we have events that we've got going on that Keisha has, but, you know, we're open for any suggestions that you have. But I think the first thing is to deal with the advocate slash ambassador.
Okay. So what were your actual numbers look like in terms of customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors?
So before I tell you all that, can you clarify ambassador? I had it written down that they needed to have become a client, qualified person that became a client in the past 12 months, and they referred somebody who was qualified in the past 12 months. Is that correct?
No. They can be a client as long as they want. They just have to have referred somebody that became a client in the last 12 months.
Okay, got it. So we may need to alter our list because I had it wrong. But they need to have referred a qualified person, right?
That's right. And that actually became a client.
That actually became a client. I see.
Okay.
Well, we still don't have any ambassadors.
Because the last two clients that were referrals that were sent out of the
No, the last no. two were not qualified.
They weren't qualified.
I'm thinking about Brent and
They had good after the time, but that was right before Supernova. Morant did, and then their net worth went down a little bit. Their liquid net worth went down because of the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Remember? They would have been. I guess they're really the only ones, but that was from the COI, right?
Yeah.
That was from...
Yeah, and somebody we didn't even... it was COI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
COI. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that... So they don't have to... Okay, so as long if it's a COI, a random person, it doesn't matter. They just need to have referred someone that became a client in the past 12 months.
They need to be a client.
They need to be a client. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So the difference in an ambassador and a COI is that the ambassador would be a client and referred someone who's qualified who became a client. And a COI is someone who can introduce us into qualified clients, but they don't necessarily have to be a client.
That's right. That's correct.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
And so would a COI and an advocate pretty much be the same thing? Or could be the same thing?
No, an advocate would be all those people that would love to refer you, and they have referred in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They're clients.
They
love you, but they just haven't done it. They may have referred somebody to you, but just didn't become a client. So it's somebody that is willing to refer you, but hasn't actually had somebody turn into a client in the last 12 months. So a person that 2 years ago gave you a great client would not be an ambassador this year.
Okay, got it.
It would have been one the year before.
Got it.
All right.
So really we have about like 17 or 18 advocates.
Okay.
We don't have any ambassadors right now. We have some that could potentially be some, which, like, I guess that's your point in making these advocates ambassadors. And we didn't really, we started generally looking at clients and customers because obviously there's some customers, I would say, are the ones that we're reassigning and clients that are probably, like, our butlers. That's kind of how we, like, looked at it, but we haven't, like, broken it down because there's quite a few. So we were just more focusing on the top tiers, two tiers.
Yeah, I would focus the clients you probably have a pretty good handle on.
Right.
It's the customers, the advocates, and the ambassadors that I'd spend time on.
Okay.
Okay.
Because those are the people, I mean, look, the idea is that you want to upgrade all of them, right?
Yeah.
So once you identify who's a customer, either they're going to go out or they're going to go up.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a client is going to go up to becoming an advocate, hopefully, and an advocate, certainly with some encouragement, can become an ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Have we talked about how to encourage them? Have we talked about that?
Uh-uh.
We need help with that. How do we encourage the advocates to be ambassadors? What do we need to do?
Well, I think one of the things to do is to practice the VIPSA process on them, because they're not going to be offended by it. They already like you and want to help you. And so remember, what the VIPSA does is brainstorming. So people don't sit around thinking, you know, who can I send to Gerald? And you know, that's not what they do every day, all day. But, so right. What you do is you spend a little bit of time with them and help them to brainstorm as to who would be qualified, potentially great new relationships for your team. So you remember how we started that? It's VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what this extra 9 sessions is about, because we kind of get through the 12 sessions once a week, and we learn mm-hmm. Supernova. But we kind of blow through the acquisition pieces so fast, and if you don't use them right away, you lose them. So
right.
That's why I love this way that we, you know, I keep you guys for at least a year and help you to remember, oh, yeah, that's how it works. Because now you're giving the service, okay? Now you're up and running. Supernova's working. You're giving the service. Now you got time to think about acquisition. So these clients are already convinced that you're great. They like you. They trust you, and they're willing to refer to you, but they don't always know who. So what I suggest is asking them the value question, which, you know, in Xerox selling skills, they always taught us establish the rationale for the call. That means, why am I making this call? So the very first thing is you ask them the value question. The question is, what is it that you valued most, or what are the 3 things that you valued most from your experience this year with our team? And what that does is it tees them up and puts them on the same side of the table, and they're bragging about you to you. Mm-hmm. All right?
Okay. All right.
I love your team. You know, I love the service. I love this new 1242. I love, you know, you guys are great. I don't have to worry. You make, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've done that and you've kind of gotten those 3 things and you write them down and you share them with your team and all that, once you've got those 3 things, that kind of gives you permission to do some brainstorming. But you have to ask for it. So that's the... that's the permission piece. So it's value. You ask the value question. What is it you value most? Then what you say is, the next is important, but you sort of go, all right, what I'd like to do with your permission is do something that's really important to us. And they go, whoa, what's that? What I'd like to do is do a little bit of brainstorming. And what I'd like to brainstorm about is who else would value this experience that you've had as much as you have. And this is the way I'd like to do it. Think of it as concentric circles. So I'd like to start our brainstorming with the friends and family, the closest people to you, because we don't want to leave anybody out. If they deserve our service, we want to know about it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go out to people that they know well. They're very good friends, neighbors, people you play golf with, maybe people at work, okay? They're not the most intimate of friends, but they're friends. And then the final circle is those people that you know that if they became clients of ours, it might be a game changer. Meaning they are really qualified, they're nice, but you don't know them as intimately as the others. So let's start with the people that are closest to you. And now you just brainstorm. And you say, okay, I know, what about your brothers and your parents? Well, my parents are too old and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But my brother, yeah, he just sold his business. He'd probably be a good guy to talk to. And he doesn't know what he's doing, you know.
Yeah.
So now we get the brother's name, but we leave it there. We don't spend any time on it because what we're going to do is circle back on all these people.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to, okay, let's now go to your neighbors. Think about your neighborhood. Who are, you know, your friends with in your neighborhood. Think about people you play golf with. Think about people that you work with. Of those people, is there anybody, you know, or a couple of them that come to mind that you think would be a good fit for us?
Mm-hmm.
Good fit is a great word. You know, these words are all important, as you can tell, right? Every word is important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a good fit. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. My neighbor across the street, he's a cardiologist, and the other one is a plastic surgeon, and they'd both be, I think, great clients for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. And who are they? And just get the names, write them down. You know,
right.
Simple description, brother, cardiologist, neighbor.
Right.
You know, and then, all right, now let's go to the final circle. And those people that you know that would be, you know, that would be really fun for us to get if we were able to make the connection. Anybody in there? Oh, yeah. My boss's boss is, you know, he does really well. He would be great. I'm not quite sure how we might approach him, but he'd certainly be qualified. And, yeah, there's this guy at the club that I played golf with him a couple of times. I don't know him that well, but I know he just sold his business, and he's really quite wealthy. Okay? So now we have, you know, five names. So now we
have five. All right. Good,
like
that. That's a good beat, bro.
Anyway, so maybe we have six. Let's see, one, two neighbors, the brother, and two. No, that's five, right? All right, so now we have five names. And here's where the practice comes in. What you say now is, all right, here's what I'd like you to do with these names. This is part of the brainstorming. Of these people, who would you suggest would need us the most, have the greatest need for us, the most urgent? And then put them in order. So now the client will do this, and will do it, and it'll surprise you the order. Whereas you thought one was more important or more urgent than the other, and you go, no, no, no. My brother is the one that needs you the most. He just sold his business. Or this neighbor across the street, I know he'd be a good guy. And he's just retiring, so you need to talk to him right away. All right, so you listen. Now what we do is, once we get them stack ranked, what we do is we go back and we profile the brother or whoever it is that he put number one. Now it's when you really ask a lot of questions. So you're trying to get, because you're never going to get more information than you're going to get from this guy about this person. That's going to give you a million clues as to how best to approach him. So once you've thoroughly profiled him, then what you do is you say, okay, you clearly know your brother better than I'll ever know him, how would you suggest that we meet? Now, you didn't ask, you know, for his phone number or just an introduction. What you asked is, how would you suggest that we meet?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I don't know. He lives in North Carolina. And you say, oh, that's no problem. Why don't we do a conference call? He goes, really? Okay. Yeah, I guess you could. That would work. All right, so how often do you talk to your brother? I talk to him every week, twice a week, three times a week. Okay. All right. Why don't I suggest this? Today is, you kind of hesitate. Today's Wednesday, right? Right, okay. So you'll talk to your brother, what, probably over the weekend or something? Right, okay, good. All right, so let's schedule a conference call for this time next Wednesday. They'll give you plenty of time to set it up. You remember what time it is. You send me an email confirming the fact that you've talked to your brother and that that time will work.
Sure.
All right, I'll send you an email with the conference call number and all the rest of it. And then we'll forward that on to your brother. Get me the, yeah, you send me his email address and all that, and I'll send it on to him. But I'm going to wait until I hear from you to send that out. Okay, good. All right, so if I don't hear from you by what? And then wait. By, oh, Sunday. Okay, if I don't hear from you by Sunday, then I will send you an email reminder. He goes, oh, okay, you don't worry, I'll get it done, don't worry. All right, so what have we done? Well, we've brainstormed. We haven't beaten him over the head. All we've done is brainstormed as who would value this as much as he has. He clearly likes us, trusts us, and wants to help us. We've gained control of the situation and kept control of it. At no time did we get a phone number or just a name. We don't care about a phone number. We don't even want a phone number. What we want is an introduction.
Okay. Yeah.
Got the introduction, and now we're going to have the phone call. And this is what you tell them. Oh, before I leave you, this is what I suggest we do. You get on, introduce me, introduce your brother, and mm-hmm. then you just drop off and excuse yourself, and I'll talk to your brother. Will that work?
Okay.
And the client goes, sure, that'll work great. And that's the way it works. Now, it's the same way if he said, oh, you know, my brother, oh, he lives three blocks from me. I see him, you know, all the time. Okay, how would you suggest that we meet? Oh, we meet on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and have a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I said, perfect. Why don't you make sure it's okay with him, and then I'll meet you guys there at Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Would that work? Yes, that will work. Okay, today is, you just go through the whole same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Wednesday. You talk to your brother. You know, if it's okay by him, let me know, and mm-hmm. then I will see you on Tuesday, and then you go, oh, by the way, why don't we, when we get there, you know, I'll buy a cup of coffee for everybody, and then you, after we've chatted it up, why don't you excuse yourself, and I'll just talk to your brother. He says, okay, good. That'll work. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So you've helped him. See, people don't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to train them. So here's what happens, though. The second time you do it, you don't have to go through all this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you've got 6 months worth of referrals, at least, right?
Yeah.
For 6 months worth of introductions, because you got five names. So the next time you talk to the, you know, you work it out with the brother, you open the account, everything goes great. You go back to your guy and go, everything went great. That was so much fun. You know, I don't want to neglect these other guys. Let's stack rank them now based on what you know and see who, you know, who would need us the most at this point. And you got you got five names. You got four other names. And then do the exact same thing, profile them, and then go for the introduction.
Okay. Okay.
Now, this works. It takes a little guts, okay? You gotta be willing to, you know, to get in there and bang some elbows, but it works. And the clients don't, the clients do not find it offensive. They find it helpful because you're helping them to help you.
Right, right.
And they're also helping them to help their friends, see? So they're helping two people.
Right.
We always talk about this, right? We want to help everybody. That's what we're out here for. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're helping them. And we
right.
can't help them if we never meet them.
That's true.
And guess what? When they get their money, what's going to happen to it? We talked about it last week, last time we talked. All these poor basketball, baseball, football players that end up, you know, stars, singers, all the rest of them, that end up getting bad advice from bad people and losing all their money.
All because we didn't take the VIPSA approach.
That's right. All because we were too scared or too chicken or too lazy to get their account.
You better talk. You better say it.
You're on it.
Okay, Rob, help us. Tell us what VIPSA stands for. We got value. Important. And what is P? Is P permission?
Advice.
Advice, okay.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, the advice piece, we added that. Bill Cates does not have that in his book. He's brilliant enough to have given us the VIPS, but we added the A, and you can see how clever the A is. Asking for their advice on how to rank them, and then asking their advice on, well, first of all, you profile them. You ask their advice then on ranking them, and then you ask their advice on how best to meet them. So to me, I just can't imagine doing this without the advice piece.
So it's ranking, they rank and then what? No, but the advice is rank. They rank.
Asking how you suggest that we.
They rank.
Ranking, right? Or suggesting that we have.
Rank them according to the urgency. Remember, who would need us? You know, if you were going to rank these people based on who needs us the most.
Okay, that comes under the advice part, though, right?
Right.
And there was another part. There was another R that you said. You rank in what? There's another R word.
Right, there's two pieces of advice. One of them is how you rank them, and the other piece is on how best to get introduced to them.
Introduction.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Remember, you know them better than I do. How would you suggest that we meet? That's the advice piece. That's it.
Suggestion is what?
Suggestion is the three concentric circles.
Okay, the circles. And the permission is the permission to brainstorm.
Right.
You got it.
Okay. Okay.
And just practice it with each other. Seriously, just pretend you're in a play and you're role-playing. You're going to have the audio from this today so you can replay it. But the only way, you know, you got to go out and shoot baskets. You cannot hope that the ball's going to go in without practicing. So you've got to go out. You got to just practice. Just practice this with each other a couple of times, 3-4 times, and then go and do it.
Okay, question. Chantel and I will be doing most of that, which probably, you know, we'll have a lot of practice. What should Keisha do in as much as she's not licensed? How does she kind of guide people to this process?
That's a good question.
You're really not giving any advice.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no reason that she couldn't practice this and do this too.
Okay. Okay. So then, she makes calls. Let's say she talks to 5 people a week, 1 person a day. And she's setting up appointments, how would you suggest that she do this? Because I can see Chantel and I doing this. I'm trying to figure out how do we get Keisha involved.
Because I wouldn't be doing the meetings. I would I would go through this process, and then I would set up the meetings for you.
Right.
See, and one of the guys does this. He goes through the VIPSA process, but he doesn't. He goes value, important, permission, and then he gives some suggestions, but he says, what we're going to do is we're going to do some brainstorming, but what I want you to do now is for the next week or so is think about this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when we get together, we'll finish doing this brainstorming. I just want to give you an idea as to how it works.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is in a week or two, or whatever works best for your schedule, just have lunch and just sit and brainstorm with you.
Okay. Okay.
And he does this with virtually every client he has.
Okay. Okay.
Now, the good news is it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it does take some courage. But you know what? So, this business takes courage, right?
Do you suggest us doing this more with, like, ambassadors?
First start with people that already are fans, you know, they've been centers of influence for you guys. They like to refer to you, and they just haven't because you maybe haven't asked or you haven't talked to them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a guy literally who was a Northwestern Mutual Life agent. I hired him for my old firm, and we were on a recognition trip going from Hungary to Vienna on the train. And he sat with my wife and I, and he did this to us. And he ended up getting, I don't know, Marcia was just as good at this as I was. And he probably got 5, 6, 7 good names from us.
Really?
And then, now, I'm the manager now, and he did this with us, and he got 5 or 6 good names, and guess what?
What's that?
I'd say half of them became clients.
Oh.
Now, and that's good. Can we do this with anybody? It has to be clients because we're asking the question, how do you value us? What are the 3 things you value most about us?
Yeah, but you know what? Other people know you and they value you. So that would work. I mean, you can do this with anybody.
I was just thinking about centers of influence.
Because I'm thinking about Maurice, how he's sending clients. Mm-hmm. He values us. So we can sit down and...
That's a good idea, People that know our practice, they may not be clients for various reasons, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were all...
One of the things that I suggested was have them come and visit you guys, and you do the 5-star model for them. Stand up and tell them about your practice. So you bring somebody in like that that isn't a client, but you know likes you. Well, you're going to give them more ammo in which to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give them a
little bit of good. Could we do? Is that best one-on-one, or could we? I'm just asking the question. I don't know the answer, but could we like have 5 people who we think a lot of, that think a lot of us, do a lunch meeting and a five-star presentation, or is that best to do one-on-one?
Well, I think that'd be fun to do with a group. I think that'd be a riot. I've never had anybody do that. That'd be a fun experiment. I think, of course,
it would. I would limit it to 3 to 5.
Yeah, I think 3 would be great, and you know, if they knew each other and
do it a lot. But I wouldn't want a big room, but just something real small, real intimate. You know, we're feeding them, we're talking. You know, walking the. We want them to know more about our practice. We want them to know how.
Hand out the book.
Mm-hmm.
Hand out the book and say, look, you know, we hired a consultant. We thought you guys would be interested in this because I think it applies to most businesses, any service business.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know how we work because you work with us or you're interested,
right.
You know.
That's right.
Let me tell you what we did in terms of our reorganization and how we think it's really enhanced the client experience.
Mm-hmm.
So always go from, you know, how did we improve your experience, the client experience? What did we do to make it better for you?
Right. Right. Okay. All right. All right. Sounds good. All right. Let me see. How much time do we have left?
We
ran over. Before you leave, Rob, we were talking about, people that we meet, people that we talk to that are giving us referrals may not truly understand our team and what we're doing. So when someone asks us what we do, or they want to give us a referral, we need to let them know in a non-threatening, non-arrogant way that we handle high net worth. We tend to deal with high net worths. Should we be giving them the number that we work with? Because, you know, should we say, well, we work with clients with $1 million plus or $2 million, whatever. Do we want to do that? Or how would you suggest we broach that subject so that we're all on the same page and we aren't arrogant?
Right. I think you don't focus on the money as much as you focus on your target audience.
Okay.
So who is it that we really can help the most?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a surgeon, a heart surgeon or a heart transplant surgeon doesn't do well treating colds.
Right. Right.
That wouldn't be good use of his time. So what you want to do is describe yourself, defining yourself more like a heart transplant surgeon than like a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we're best suited for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And when it comes to money, they say, well, what's your minimum? Our minimum is really our minimum is dependent on the number of clients that we have. Right now, we have a little bit of room, but we're almost full. And our minimum size account now with the number of clients that we have is $2.5 million at this point. So it makes it look like an exclusive club. The other thing I would always think about is where we can be best and most effectively used is with clients with more complicated situations. And as you know, it gets rather complicated once you get above $10
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, you know, estate planning and all that starts to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to offend anybody, but you can tell them the truth, that it's the most interesting and most satisfying work we do is with clients with higher net worths.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the range of, you know, we'll help most clients north of, say, $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, we can help specialize in helping people that are selling their businesses go through that confusing period and help them to make sure that they keep the money that they've earned, spent so many years working for. So you guys work that out as to, you know, what best defines what you do. But you never apologize for giving good service, so you don't apologize for limiting the number of your clients. You'd love to have more clients, but you just can't give them that kind of service, that kind of great service.
Right.
And we want to, you know, we want to have a concierge-style practice where we give extremely high service. And so that's limited, you know, limits the number of clients we can serve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Good. That's good. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you going over a little bit with us, too.
No, I appreciate it. I got to go pick up my granddaughter at the airport, so.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm so excited.
That's
great. 3.5.
How long is she going to be with you?
Well, she's going to be here. We're going to be sole practitioners with her for a week.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, enjoy.
Thank you. My daughter's moving to Nashville and from Los Angeles, which we're really excited about. And she's got a new job. She's a producer, a TV producer, so they're doing a new show down there. So.
She's, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So we're going to have some fun with that.
Before you go, one more question.
Okay.
We've got a situation that we need some help with, and to be, you know, and we obviously we want to be ethical with it. But we have a client whose daughter is a movie producer who Chantel went to high school with, middle school with, and I've known for a while, but she's out in L.A. Her mother told her that she needed to sign up with us and join our team. But what she did was, and she's kind of one of those carefree, very artsy, carefree kind of people, said, well, and she just, you know, she needed an IRA, so she just called the office out in L.A. and opened up an IRA and sent in the paperwork. So here we are. We know her. She knows us. And we have to be very ethical about, you know, what we do, but how do you handle a situation like that? When we know we can help her, and she doesn't have a relationship with the person, but we got to be, you know, we got to follow the rules and be ethical. So how do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, I would call her and find out whether this effort is going to be worth it. Meaning, is she, you know, will she do business with you? Does she have enough money? Is she qualified?
She got the money. She's qualified.
Okay. I would call her and you know, establish the rationale is, you know, we feel, we hope it hasn't been, you know, on our part, the fault of us that we haven't gotten together, you know, your mom has bugged us and we'd love to do business with you. But before we do that, you know, we'd want to make sure that this is something that you want. Okay. I would get that real clear because you're not going to go through this hassle. The next thing you do, once she says, oh yeah, I want to bring $20 million to you guys, and I want to do it tomorrow, then you call up the financial advisor on the other side and say, look, I don't know how this happened, but we have a very good family friend who's been, you know, we have the mom and the daughter has been, you know, we've been, you know, talking to her for years, and she just walked in and opened an IRA, and that's not really what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be unethical and just open the account and do a lot of business and ignore the IRA. I want to make sure that you know that this isn't something that we've been behind your back prospecting. This is something that you know, has been going to happen for years. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Right? I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you always. I always made financial advisors call each other when there was a dispute and work it out, because you guys can always work it out. You get the managers involved, and it's a mess. But you never want the client involved. You want to make it look seamless to the client, like we're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Right. Drive safely and enjoy your granddaughter.
Oh, thanks so much. We're going to have a ball. Okay.
All right. All right.
Bye.
Bye.